Well,
I want to thank the Lord. Surely, I have so many things to praise the Lord. We are serving a living God, and I thank the Lord for His mercy with me, for His compassion, because it was the mercy of the Lord who reached down for me when I was completely lost without any hope when I came to this country. But God, because He's a merciful God, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting through everlasting, and I know without the great mercy of the Lord, I wouldn't be here today. So many things has happened lately in my life that really humbles me to see how God has been so faithful with me. It really touched my heart what happened last Thursday at school. It was a complete surprise for me when I saw our principal, Brother Ned Leland, standing there with a plaque in his hand and then addressing to all the students and teachers. And then I found out that plaque was for me. Because, you know, February 22nd, 2010, it was 25 years that I became an American. I made a comment to one brother, and this brother, Stretch, is not here with us today, have the wonderful idea to have a plaque made for me. It was wonderful. And I thank the Lord, number one, and I thank Stretch for his good idea, and I thank you all for your prayers on behalf of the Spanish ministry. You know, I owe God so much. I owe Him completely my life. Completely. Believe me, He pays to serve Jesus. I have seen the hand of the Lord working in so many ways, answering prayers on behalf of the people that we pray for. I have seen the hand of the Lord working in my life because I need changes in my life. I like the word drastic changes. Drastic changes in my life to get closer to you, to get closer to Him, because He is so great and He is so wonderful. Today, I want to talk to you about something that I will say is basic in our walk with the Lord, but at the same time is profound and is deep. The scriptures that we're going to read and make some comments about them, I am almost positive that you know them or some of them. But I feel definitely that there is a need personally in my walk with the Lord, and I also feel there is a need in the Church of Jesus Christ. Let me begin with this. You don't have to answer me now, but I want to impress upon you something. Tell me one thing that changed your life. Or maybe you have several things that have changed your life. With this thought in mind, something that changed our life. If I will be talking to Spanish-speaking people in Colombia, I will use the word revolutionize your life. You know, because those people are looking for changes. And there is only one who can really change us. And this is the living God. One thing that changed your life, that changed your perspective of life, changed your way of thinking, changed your way of acting. Praise the Lord. With this in mind, let's go to John chapter 17 and verse 3. John chapter 17 and verse 3. You know this verse. I am positive of this. It's not something new. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is Jesus, the mighty King of glory, praying to the Father before he went to the cross, and there he's saying, and this is life eternal, that they might, what? Know thee. That they might know thee. Praise God. I want to talk to you about to know God. This is something, as I told you, basic, but at the same time, it's something deep, profound. You're not asking me, but you ask me, Mr. Armando, tell me something about what changed your life. To know God, it will be my answer. I was raised in a Catholic country. I never heard about knowing God. I didn't know anything about this. But here I came to America, in New Orleans, and I got acquainted with people of the living God, our group, and I heard about knowing God. It was something completely different for me, you see. And I praise God that I came to Him, and I met my Savior, praise God, and I got acquainted with God. And that changed my perspective of life, because God showed me what it was, and what it was, what it had in my heart. And knowing God changed my life, and it should change everybody's life. To know God. Here we have a sentence. I don't know her. And let's put here another. I don't know the answer. Here you have in English the same verb, to know. If somebody asked me to translate those sentences into the Spanish language, for this know, I have this verb, conocer. But for this, I cannot use conocer. I had to use another verb, saber. And I believe that maybe some of my Spanish students know that to know in Spanish has two meanings. Conocer and saber. I'm not here to teach you Spanish today. I am here to talk about Jesus. But I feel this is important. Because this conocer means to know. But when you are acquainted with someone. And this know is when you know something about facts in life. Do you understand what I mean? There is a difference. But the Greek, and you know the New Testament was written in Greek, is much, much richer than the English or the Spanish. You know that word, when Jesus said that they might know you, that know is ginosko, and means a knowledge grounded in a personal, what? Relationship. You know what I'm talking about? That changed my life. God wants to have a relationship with me. I that was a sinner by choice. And He showed me His love. And God wants to have that personal relationship with you too. Praise God. God wants, praise the Lord, praise God. God wants relationship. Because God is love. And love compels Him to what? To share what He has. the beautiful attributes, the beautiful characteristics of our Heavenly Father. He wants to share with us. Praise God. He wants to have a personal relationship with each one of your children. And you see, this is something that I don't understand. How this mighty being in heaven, this great King of glory, wants to fellowship with us. But God is love. It's the only answer that I can find. God is love. Praise God. Hallelujah. To know God. John chapter 10, in the same book, and verses 14 and 27. This is the Good Shepherd speaking here. In verse 14, I am the Good Shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. In other words, Jesus knows us, and we know him. It's absolutely possible to have that personal relationship with the Almighty God. And 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know, there are many voices in the land today. We need to be so close to the Lord that we can know who's speaking. And praise God that we, the children of God, the sheep of the living God, we can recognize his voice. Praise God. God has made it possible. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. God wants relationship with his children. God wants fellowship. Wonderful. Hallelujah. God wants to fellowship with us. Praise God. And you know, fellowship implies to share. To share. God wants to share with us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. God is faithful. Oh, what a wonderful statement. Completely true. By whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord. Yes, that is part of the call of God. We have been called to have fellowship with the Son of the living God, with Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, today I want to stress what I decided to call P-I-R. For me, this P stands for personal. That I stands for intimate. And this R stands for relationship. Praise God. God wants with each one of his children to have a personal, intimate relationship. You know, personal. God wants you individually. You individually. Think about that. The mighty King of the universe, he has singled you out and he wants fellowship with you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? But it has to be personal. Oh, the father is not going to do it for the daughter. Well, the father is not going to do it for the son, or the husband is not going to do it for the wife, because this is something personal. God wants to be with you, that you spend time with him, you individually. Yes, your family, wonderful. You share with your family the things of God, wonderful. With the church, wonderful. But God is talking to you individually. John, I want you to fellowship with me, to spend time with me, to have something intimate. And intimate requires what? A very close association. Very close association. Your husbands and wife know what I'm talking about when I mention the word intimate. You know what I'm talking about. This is husband and wife. But here, God wants something with you individually. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that is what is about Christianity. And I can tell my people, Christianity is not a religion. When I said that, I was thinking about the Spanish-speaking people of my family. Christianity is not about a set of doctrines. Christianity is a relationship. It's a relationship, and with the Most High God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God wants you to know him personally, individually, and that you can have that close relationship with him. Oh, blessed be his holy name. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 7. This is about Samuel, the great prophet of God. Remember when the Lord talked to Samuel? God was going to reveal what he was going to do to Eli's house. And the Lord called Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel thought that Eli was calling him. And in verse 7 we say, now Samuel did not yet the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. How old was Samuel when God spoke to him? I don't know. But verse 1 says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord. Samuel was a child. How old? I don't know. But God spoke to this child. And listen, he did not know the Lord yet. So can God talk to somebody who is not a Christian? I believe so, according to this verse. If he can talk to a person who doesn't know him, how much he wants and he desires to talk to whom? To those who know him. You see, praise God. Praise the Lord. Titus chapter 1 and verse 16. They profess that they know God. They profess that they know God. But in works, they what? They deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. You see, people can profess, they can say that they know God, they can say with their lips, but here we find that if they don't know God, their works will show it. Their work will show if a person knows or doesn't know God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You know, God wants his people to be in tune with him. He desires fellowship. He desires to share with his people. And you know, the Bible has examples of those who reach that state that were able to fellowship with God. And I would like to read a statement from one of those men in the Old Testament, Job, Brother Job, that suffers so much, the patience of Job. Job chapter 19 and verse 25. For I know I know that my Redeemer liveth? How did he know that the Redeemer was alive? He had to talk to God. He had to be in fellowship with the living God to make a statement like that. I know. It's not that I think. I know because I have that assurance because of the relationship that I have with the living God. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Praise God. And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Praise your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise your wonderful name. Yeah, the Bible says that we can know if we know God. We can know. We can have the assurance that we know God. If 1 John chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4. And hereby we do know that we know him if what? We keep his commandments. That's to say, this is the proof that we know God if we keep his commandments. But what about verse 4? He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. A strong language from Brother John, but it's the truth according to the word of God. If we really know God, it has to be shown in our life. Those changes, praise God, that God is making in each one of us. Praise the Lord. On the same line, 1 John chapter 4, and verses 7 and 8. Beloved, verse 7, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth. Another proof that we know God if we have love. And also, we are being born of God, being born again. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Or you want to change it? He that loveth, knoweth God. It will change it to the affirmative. So there is proof that we can find if we really love God. Praise the Lord. I found the Lord because he has revealed to each one of his children and that we can have that personal relationship with God. But as I told you, it's something basic, but at the same time, it's profound, it's deep. Praise the Lord. Colossians 1 and verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing. Remember, we have been to a Christian walk. Christianity, Christian life, is not static. It's in progression. And we have been commanded to walk. To walk. How do we walk worthy of the Lord? Being what? Fruitful in every good work. You have fruitful, the fruit of the Spirit, and also what? Increasing in the knowledge of God. That personal, intimate relationship has to what? To grow, to develop daily. We never come to a place that we can understand and know completely God. No. He is the Almighty God. He is a great creator. You know. And our God is so wonderful. He's so great. He's so majestic. That we never and never will come to a complete knowledge of him. Because remember, he is the creator and we are the creatures. Do you understand what I mean? Praise God. But this is not to disappoint us, no, but to encourage us day by day to learn more about Him and to increase the personal, intimate relationship that He wants with us. Increasing day by day. Praise the Lord. I smell spring, in spite that this morning was cold. But I smell spring, and I have seen the green on the trees and the green on the grass. And one of these days, Brother Randy or Brother Jason are going to be working in the fields and plant the seed, and we're going to see what? The corn growing that we need to feed those hungry cows. You see, life is incomplete. Development constantly. We don't see in the spiritual part, but it's also the same thing. God is in motion. The physical life, the spiritual life is always in motion. God is doing, God is working. Sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes God allows us to see it. But what I'm going to tell you, my brothers and my sisters, is that we need to grow and to increase in that personal, intimate relationship with the living God. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow, a synonym for increase, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Pay attention. It's not a recommendation. I don't know if you agree with me. But for me, this is a command. It's a command. Grow in grace and in the knowledge. In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And let's go to a book in the Old Testament after Daniel, Hosea, chapter 6. And I would like to read verse 3. Then shall we know if what we follow on to know the Lord. For me here, I find that we're supposed to follow, to grow, to keep moving. Let us go on to perfection. Let us go on to perfection. Let us go to a greater knowledge of God. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto earth. Praise God. I surely want to thank the Lord because I have been encouraged how the Lord is working with the women, and He's working with the men too. And we begin to see changes in our life. As you can see, God is moving. And He wants us to move along with Him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Higher ground. Yes, Brother Jason and Sister Rachel said, wonderful. A higher plane I have found. I believe that if you really know Jesus, you really know God, you have found a higher plane when you came to Him. But this is not the end. It's still. What is the other song? I cannot remember who sang it in the meeting. In the Bible class this morning. Too much land to what? To be what? To be possessed. We still have. Much land to be possessed. There is still a higher plane in God. You see? And this is what I want to instill in you today. And God is working for this time to move. To praise. To praise. Praise the Lord. And I would like to read Philippians chapter 3 about this man of God, Paul. Brother Paul. Philippians chapter 3, And I would like to begin in verse 7 through 14. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Can you say the same thing like Brother Paul? I believe so. You were planning to do something before God took hold of you. My brother Paul counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. For what? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Brother Paul was speaking and writing here in a personal way. It's loss. What is behind us is, we compare what God has before us, is absolutely nothing. He used the word done, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And if we haven't lost it, we're going to lose it. Because this is the call of God, to lose everything, to what? And do count them but done, that I may win Christ. Willing to lose everything. Remember the song of the terrorist man here? Take everything but my love. We come into that place, people. Take everything. Everything but my Lord. My possessions, my dear blood relations, everything. But yes, I want you, Jesus. I want you in my life. And be found in him. Verse 9. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know it. Don't try to tell me that Brother Paul didn't know God and Jesus at that time. He knew God. He, praise God, he was an apostle and had the power of the living God working through him. He knew God. He had a personal relationship with God. But he said, that I may know him. Brother Paul knew that there was something deeper in the knowledge of God. Praise the Lord. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect. He didn't claim perfection. No. He knew that he was not perfect. By what I follow. And this is what I want to instill in you today. Let us follow after. Praise God. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I can now myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I am reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press to the mark. Oh, praise the Lord. We need a pressing. You press. And I see you pressing. Help me. And I praise with you. Because God is working with the family. You know. And we need each other. Praise God. Let me try to finish this with these words. Today, I'm talking to you. And I don't know. But there are two classes of people. You know God or you don't know God. I don't know how you are before God. But I'm telling you, if you don't know God, there is an altar here to seek the Lord. To seek the Lord. And God can come into your heart and give you an assurance that you know him. Praise God. Now, I'm talking to you. You already know God. This altar is also open to seek the Lord. For what? For a greater knowledge of him. For what we have today is still not enough for tomorrow. We need to come to a greater knowledge of God. If you don't know it, Him, or if you know Him, we all need to be seeking God together. Praise the Lord. Until we can have a better and a greater personal, intimate relationship with the living God. And only you, individually, personal, can do it. I cannot do it for you. You cannot do it for me. A book, it might be a great book, is not going to do it for you. God, even God, with all His power, He's not going to force you to do it. You have to make a decision that you need a personal, intimate relationship with God, and then seek the Lord with all your heart. May the Lord help us. Praise God.